we could open up our Bibles, please. And we're in Psalm chapter 46 is where we are. And, you know, as I was studying Psalm 46, I picked up the Believer's Bible commentary. It's one commentary that I like. It's very simple, and I like that. And just kind of sets it out there. But it started this psalm speaking about something here in Scotland, all right? So I thought I'd share it with us. During the First World War, in an island community in the Highlands of Scotland, young men were being called up in increasing numbers for military service. Each time contingents of them gathered at the pier to sail to the mainland, their relatives and friends assembled with them there, and they sang from the Psalter, okay? So they picked up a hymn in that Psalter, and they sang that, and it was Psalm 46. And I want to read it to you from the Psalter. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present aid. And therefore, though the earth give way, we will not be afraid. Though mountains fall into the sea, the waters foam and roar, we will not fear. Though mountains quake as waves engulf the shore. A river flows, whose streams delight the city of our God, the holy place in which the Lord Most High has his abode. God is within his holy place. The city will not yield, for God will come at break of day to be your help and shield. The nations are in disarray. The kingdoms disappear. God speaks, and at his mighty voice, the whole earth melts with fear. The Lord Almighty is with us to strengthen and sustain. For Jacob's God, our strong defense and fortress will remain. Come, see the works the Lord has done, the judgments he commands, the desolations he has brought to pass in many lands. In every land throughout the earth, he makes all conflicts cease. He shatters bow and spear and shield and brings his reign of peace. Be still and know that I am God, on earth exalted high, and all the nations of the world my name will glorify. The Lord Almighty is with us to strengthen and sustain. For Jacob's God, our strong defense and fortress will remain. And if as I read that, you said, man, that sounds familiar. It's what the Psalter is. It's the Psalms put to meter into rhyme, okay? So made it into modern-day English poetry so that it could be sung. And if God ever gives us somebody that could be a presenter, or I think that's the term in our church, that could stand up and sing from the Psalter and help us to sing from the Psalter, I think it would be excellent. Because obviously that's very good because it's scripture. And so you can imagine as they stood on that pier, these young men about to go into the unknown, to foreign lands, and to risk their lives for their nation, and the families that are standing there saying goodbye to them, not in our day having the technology to keep in touch, and very much not knowing if they're going to come back from that journey that they're going to go on, the comfort that it brought to sing this psalm and to reflect on who God is. And so often for us, even in this world, there's going to be fearful uncertainties that are going to come about. That could be on a personal level. It could be health concerns. It could be financial concerns. It could be the unexpected relational difficulties or things like that, or parents and raising kids and the wisdom needed for that in the future. And how are these things going to work out? Obviously, in our day, there's a lot that's happening. We've talked about it recently, about how Brexit has impacted the economy, how the pandemic affected the economy, how recently there's all that flux that's taking place economically, and then obviously the war that's in Europe and what's taking place there, and other countries and nations rising up and posturing and acting as if they're going to attack, and potentially, you know, these things can happen. So there's all these things out there, but as we look at Psalm 46, Psalm 46 is an anchor that you can hold and that holds you no matter what the circumstances of life are, all right? It really is a point that we could dig down and say, but I can exist here, I can flourish here, I could be strong here. And so my message this morning is be still and know that he is God and that he will triumph, okay? Be still and know that he is God and that he will triumph. And as you think about the idea, still, are you resting today? In your heart? Is there peace in your heart? There's a lot going on in life, a lot on a physical level, on a family level, on a community level, on a worldwide stage level, but is there, can you honestly say today, you know, Pastor Ben, I'm resting in God. Or if I can't say that I'm really resting in God, it's a good opportunity today to reexamine that and say, okay, what can help me to find strength in these days of of fearful circumstances and things that are out there. So be still and know that I am God and that I will triumph. And so let's pray and ask the Spirit of God to help us to become to the Word of God this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to look at the Word of God. It is a blessing to open up the precious book of all books. And Father, a book that doesn't just give a good philosophy. It's not just going to give us ideas and facts, but it speaks about a relationship that we have with God and the strength of our God and his ability to sustain us no matter what the circumstances of life that we're facing. And Father, we need this. We're coming into the dark winter. We're coming into the rain and all these things. And on top of that, the economy and things that could trouble us today. But Father, you're faithful. And you're a good God, a loving God, a gracious God. You care about us. You know where we're at today. And you know that we're here at church desiring to gain comfort and strength from the scriptures. And Father, our deepest desire today would be to more closely attach every single person that's here. It might be somebody's not attached. They haven't come to saving faith. They haven't put their faith in Jesus Christ. They might have some religious ideas, but they've never been born again. They've never been given God's gift of everlasting life by faith in the cross of Christ and what Jesus did as he died on the cross for their sin and faith in the Son of God who loved them and gave himself for them. And Father, I pray that they would get attached today. And Father, others that are needing to just stay attached, keep attached, be better attached. I pray, Spirit of God, may our study this morning do that. May it strengthen their hands. We do pray for the children in their class, that, as prayed earlier, that Spirit of God would just speak to their heart, bless them, Mrs. Shore, as she watches over them and encourage their hearts in that class today. And Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would guide me as I speak. And this morning, I can't speak without your enablement. And Father, I pray for liberty to preach the word and teach the Bible. And Father, as a pastor, that I do so lovingly and graciously and kindly and yet forcefully, as forcefully as you desire with the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, using biblical arguments to press upon us the need to be in earnest in our walk with God. And so, Spirit of God, would you guide and direct in this time? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, and so I'm going to identify verse 10 as kind of the theme verse, I think, of the psalm. As you look at it, I see it as kind of a summary type verse of this psalm. And so it says in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And so again, what we want to look at this morning is be still and know that he is God and that he will triumph. And you see those truths in our text. And so we're going to use those as our headings to go and examine, as it were, the rest of the psalm under those titles. And so we start with that command, really, be still, be still. And so verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Now the command be still has to do with the serenity of the inner man or the soul, right? That state of peace that is internal that we desire. You know, how many of you this morning would say you like peace, all right? You like peace. If you're, the older you get, the more you like peace, all right? And some younger parents may go, what's peace, all right? That doesn't happen very often, baby, in our house when you have the little ones. And that was the way it was for me back, you know, as a young dad. We had two little ones, Benson and Kaylee, close in age, and we were in Michigan. And, you know, very thankfully, there in Michigan, I had an office at the church. And so I could not study with noise or things like that, you know, and so we got the kids there at home with my wife, thankfully. You know, I'm there at church, and it's peaceful. It's just easy to focus in and zero in on what I needed to do. When God called us to Scotland, I lost my study. My study became the truck, whatever truck we were using to pull our mobile caravan that was our house that we were traveling, raising support to come to Scotland. And, you know, I'd get out there, and I'd sit in the truck. That would be my place of peace. Well, we got over here, and in our houses over here, my study's been in our house. You know, that's where I've got to study. And so our kids are growing up, and, you know, they're noisy as young ones, but then they got into instruments and things, and so we got pianos going. We've got brass instruments going at our house. We've got chanters. We've got bagpipes at our house, and the kids are getting better at that, and so they're getting the bigger and bigger stuff. And, you know, and so there's a lot of noise that's there, so God gave me wisdom. I bought a pair of construction earmuffs, you know, bright yellow things, and I'm serious, you think I'm joking, and I'm sitting at my desk, desk, and the postman, he does what you do when he comes in, because I got a big window, he can see me there at my desk, you know, and I've got my yellow earmuffs on, and it's peaceful, and it's great, you know, because it's kind of like nobody's home, you know. I just focus in, I'm studying, and I'm totally being honest with you this morning. That's how I escape, and I get away, and I find peace when it's noisy in my house. Okay, that works on a physical level. But if you've got a noise in your heart, your soul, what can you do about it? I mean, you can't put earmuffs on that. And Jim Berg, a professor at the university that I went to, he wrote a discipleship series. It's called Quieting a Noisy Soul. You know, it's speaking to the fact that internally there's often a lot of noise that's there, a lot of things that are going on, but that we desire to obey the scripture that God's saying to us, and that is to be still. So God is the answer to our soul's need for peace. We really need God to make it possible for us to be still, all right? And so let's talk about that. Well, be still because of what your God is, all right? Be still because of what your God is. It says in verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, okay? He's my refuge and strength. And if I were to ask people today, again, we talked about peace. You want peace? Yeah. I think if we're honest, we want peace, but we'd also want these two aspects of these things. I want safety and I want strength. All right. That would be something that we would desire. So I want safety. Why? Because I feel vulnerable. There's things coming at me, right? I want that position that's secure. And so I need safety. And then I need strength. Why? Because I feel weak. I feel like I just can't do it, right? So, I mean, if I had those two things, I'd be in a pretty good position. If I've got safety and I've got strength, then I'm in a very strong position. Now, think about people today. Many people today are looking to many other places for refuge and strength. They're trying to find security in something, and they're trying to find strength in something. So let's consider some things. A lot of people are looking to the government. Right now, people feel weak financially. And so there's a strong feeling the government's got to meet the need. They got to come through somehow. They got to save all the people that are in mortgages, and the interest rate's rising, and the interest rate's rising because inflation's going up. And so they raise that interest rate to try to drive inflation down. But it's like this, right? And so there's this feeling, I need refuge. So I'm looking to the government, be my refuge. I'm looking for strength financially. And so again, I'm looking to the government to provide that. Many people today are looking to physicians. They find out they're weak physically. They're vulnerable physically. They might have cancer. They've got other things, or maybe that fear that we all went through, with COVID and pandemics and things. And there was this strong idea that if the physicians will just come through and we could get everybody jabbed and we can get all these things, that there is refuge in that, there is strength in that, and they looked to physicians for that. Many people are looking to educators. Education's the answer. And if I could just get the education, then I could get the job. Then I can find security. Then I can find strength. And so education is it. And so I need educators to help me. Again, there's people that are looking to finances or to materialism. They're going into great debt, trying to find satisfaction and security and things and acquiring these things. And if I get that house, if I get that car, I'm gonna feel like I'm protected. I'm gonna feel strong in that position. If I could just somehow get to that point, that's where it's at. If I can find it, a lot of people are looking to relationships, trying to find that security, trying to find that strength. There's many women that are in immoral relationships outside of marriage because they think that'll be security for them. If they get that man, that's going to provide security. And so even though the man won't enter into marriage, they enter into that relationship, and there's security they think there. They think there's strength there. If I just have that, that's going to meet my needs. Obviously today, there's many people that are looking to sin. And I think we're going to find that as we go into the dark winter and the economy gets really bad, that even though the price of alcohol is becoming prohibitive, that there's going to be people that are pursuing alcohol even more going into this winter, because they're going to look to that and say, I need security. I need strength. And I've got to try to find that. Maybe some of that look to drugs. Others, sadly, escape thinking suicide maybe is even the answer to security and strength. I can't find it anywhere else. I'll find it maybe in that. Or I find it in infidelity, this idea that there is no God, that man is God, and that man has to solve it, and I can figure it out. And so I'm going to find security and strength in this idea that there is no God. And so as we think about it this morning, I think we can understand that there are many people that are looking everywhere for security, looking everywhere for strength. And yet the Bible just comes back and says, be still and know that I am God. I am your refuge. I am your strength. God is our refuge and strength. And then secondly, be still, not just because of what your God is, your refuge and your strength, but because of where your God is. Notice it says, a very present help in trouble. When you need help, God is there. You know, praise God, whatever that trouble is. And again, we've listed some things this morning, and there's just going to be a lot of things that we could think about that, I mean, that's burdensome to me, that's difficult for me, and yet the Word of God reminds us that God is a very present help in trouble. My sister Rachel, she's about 2.5 years younger than I am, and she was at Bob Jones University when I was there. And I've shared before about our family would travel to Demorest, Georgia, my brother and I, to work at a church that was there. Then my sister and I traveled together. My wife and I got married. Then Katie and I and my sister Rachel, we traveled to this church in Demorest, Georgia. And we're there at that place. My sister, when she was in college, she didn't date. She had a good friend, Nate Metcalf, and I mean, they were buddies. They were pals. Nate Society would do skits about Rachel and Nate because they were such good buddies and friends, but they weren't dating. They just had a really good friendship, and you know, when they got ready to graduate, they looked at each other and decided they didn't want to say goodbye, so they got married. And so that's my brother-in-law now, but Rachel didn't have dates. She just had a good friend. Nate would go with the guys to the dating outings and things, you know, on campus with artist series, opera plays, and things like that. Rachel would go with the girls to that thing because they're good friends, but they weren't dating. So anyway, we're at the church in Demorest, Georgia, and on extension ministry there, and you know, we're in a Sunday night service, and my sister leans over to me and says, this hymn that we're about to sing is the hymn I sing when I'm getting ready for artist series. I don't have a date, you know, and it just is a comfort to me. And the hymn is, just when I need him, Jesus is near. And it's a very, the hymn itself is very comforting and that, but it's got this phrase that repeats, and it's this, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Jesus is near to comfort and cheer just when I need him most. The problem for me, as I sat there with my sister, sometimes we get in trouble in church for laughing because you know, our humor is the same, and you know, somebody starts to smirk or something, and then we just lose it. And so I'm sitting there beside her, and she leans over and says, this is the hymn I sing when I'm getting ready for artist series. I don't have a date. And I'm thinking this, just when I need him, boyfriend, date, most. Just when I need him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most. The problem is it repeats over and over again. All right, so I got tickled by that. We started laughing on the front row of the church, and we stood up after that, and we sang a duet, and I had to apologize. I'm sorry if you saw us laughing up here. But anyway, that's that. You know, setting aside the humor of that, that hymn is precious, is it not? Just when I need him, Jesus is near. And there are things, I don't know about you, I look at this past 6 months, I think, Lord, this is some of the toughest stuff that I've been through in ministry, but I praise God that when we need God, that God is near, right? Like the psalmist is speaking about, is saying, hey, you know, God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Praise God that he's there. So be still. Because he's God. He's a refuge and strength. Be still because he's close. And then be still because of who your God is. It says, therefore, will not we fear though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And, you know, I look at that list and I don't know about you. I look at that and I think, could it be worse? I mean, as far as what the scripture is describing there in this text, it talks about the earth be removed. It's like the fountains, you know, the foundations of the earth are trembling and crumbling. It's speaking about the mountains being cast into the sea. How terrifying that would be as to see a towering mountain just falling down and being absorbed by the sea. It's like a tsunami, what it's speaking about. It's like that earthquake underneath the water and the roaring and the noise and everything about that and the mountain shaking with the swelling thereof. And so I look at that and think, I mean, the Bible's speaking about a situation that's very dire. Again, as we get on the news in our day, we're constantly bombarded by things that we look at and think, oh, that is troubling. That is troubling. You know, the author, A.A. Milne, he's the one that wrote the story about the 100 Acre Woods, Winnie the Pooh, you know, that sort of thing. If he was to cast a news, you know, a modern day newscast into his children's story, it wouldn't be Winnie the Pooh that would be reading it. It would be Eeyore, right? It's like, well, you know, everything's bad, and it's getting worse, and it's going bad from worse. And I think you understand this morning that if you get on the news, it's just like bad, bad, bad. And I want to say this. I would encourage us to maybe stay off the news a little bit because of how negative and how they're putting things across. But let me say this. Even if everything that they say is absolutely true, it's still okay because of God. And see, that's what the psalmist is saying. It's saying, okay, even if these great circumstances take place, and I believe prophetically that it's speaking about the tribulation period, because that's going to happen. But even in that situation, God is still God. God has not evacuated his post. And so I encourage us this morning, be still because of who your God is. But then be still because of what your God supplies. What your God supplies. It says in verse 4, it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And if you Google it, is there a river in Jerusalem? And I know I've been there and seen it. There are springs in Jerusalem, but there isn't a river that actually passes through the city of Jerusalem. And again, verses 2 and 3 seem to represent the tribulation time period. After that, when Christ reigns in Jerusalem and when the new Jerusalem comes down, there will be a river that will be there in that place. And Revelation 22 speaks about it. It says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And that river is the river of life. It's the river of God's grace. It's God giving everything that's necessary to sustain life. And so when you read about this river in verse 4, it's speaking about God just putting out to us every bit of grace that is necessary for us as we need it. That grace is there. There's a hymn. We're going to sing it at the conclusion of our message this morning. But grace is flowing like a river. It says, grace is flowing like a river from the Mount of Calvary. Look to Jesus Christ, the giver. He from sin can set you free. Grace is flowing like a river. Millions there have been supplied. Still it flows as fresh as ever from the Savior's wounded side. And in that sense, if you want to spiritually look at what Christ did on Calvary, when Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ opened the doors to the grace of God, and grace flows out. There is everything, praise God, that we need today that you know, our heart might be struggling with. We look at our life and think, my, I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation, how our family is going to get through this, how our church is going to get through this, but God has every bit of grace that we need to get through it. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul is crying out to God, saying, God, I've got this physical problem. I'd like you to take care of it. And three times he cries out to God and says very specifically, God, take this physical burden away. And God's response, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so, again, we can look at it and say, God, I'm just overwhelmed. I mean, it's been so tough. Lord, we went through COVID. I mean, I'm just talking for all of us here. We went through COVID, and now the economy's reeling and Brexit. And I mean, life is just crazy in the last 3 years. And yet, God would just say to us this morning, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I've got everything that you need. You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And somebody that is understanding this is going to God and say, God, it's tough, but here I am to you. And when you get to God and God begins to give you what you need, all of a sudden you understand, hey, this is what I need. And guess what? You get attached to God and you begin to grow. And God gets you through it. And God gets you to the next thing. And God continually is showing that, hey, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, I want to remind us this morning that grace is not in entertainment. Sometimes I think we can, as a believer, even have an escape mechanism where we just think, you know, if I just can get away and I can just sit down in my own little corner in my own little world, you know, and I could be in that place and click that on, that I can find solace in that. I'm going to look at the news. I'm going to look at entertainment. I'm going to listen to music. I'm just trying to tune it out, that there could be a desire and just a search and going, is it here? Maybe even as believers say, well, maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe if I spend some time and you know, there's nothing against relationships, and certainly as believers, there's going to be some edification, some grace given from that time together. But the thing is, it's not going to be in a relationship outside of Christ. But if we look at it and say, you know what, the thing my family needs, the thing I need is God, it's just going to bring us closer and closer to God. And then we can be still. Be still. Why? Because God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is very present to help me. God is the one that is giving grace, flowing like a river. Even if everything's coming apart, everything's falling apart, yet I can find solace in God. So that truly I can say, my heart is at peace. Because I'm still. And it's a command, isn't it? It's a command of dependence upon God. Be still and know that I am God. So let's go on to that second part, which I just mentioned, okay? So first of all, be still. That's our part. Okay, I'm going to rest in God. But it's based on knowledge. Know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So again, the theme verse says this idea of knowing that he is God. And I think more specifically than knowing that he's God, is knowing that he is their God, right? Be still and know what? That I'm God, but God in what sense? God is your God, and that this is indeed their God. You know, I can't say this morning, and I'd love to preach this on the streets in Edinburgh, but I cannot preach Psalm 23, the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. He maketh you to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth you beside the still waters. Why? Because I don't know who is the sheep of the shepherd. And it's only the sheep of the shepherd that can claim that, that could say themselves, that could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And that's the same aspect of kind of what we're considering here, is that for us to be still, then God has to be our God. We have to be in that right relationship with him by faith in his son, Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 7:23 says, these things commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you. And again, I just remind us this morning that for us to be still and know that I'm God, that we've got to be, first of all, rightly related through Jesus Christ to God, and then in obedience to God. And that's what our text here speaks about. Because we see here that God sanctified them. I sanctified you. Verse 4. Know that I am God, I sanctified you, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. To sanctify is to set apart. It's the same word that is holy, okay? Holy means set apart. So set apart from sin, set apart unto God. All right, those two aspects are aspects of sanctification. Now, the holy place is Jerusalem. The holy place is the temple that's there in Jerusalem. Solomon is the one that dedicated that place, and when he did, he prayed a prayer. Found in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 29. It says, that thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there. And so Solomon, as he's praying, he's saying, God, you have promised to put your name here. You have promised to be in this sanctified, in this holy place, this place that you have set apart. God answers the psalmist's prayer in 1 Kings 9, verse 3. It says, and the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Okay, that's a real place, Jerusalem. I've been there to the Temple Mount, and I've stood where the old temple used to be. God said, I have sanctified that place. I have set that place apart. Now, this past week, there were elections that took place in Israel. I don't know if you saw that in the news. But Benjamin Netanyahu, the longest-serving prime minister, is back in power because the Likud party took back their majority. Okay. It's very interesting to see these things taking place and just to look with interest at Israel. And there's a lot of eyes on Israel. There always has been because of the significance biblically of what God is doing there. And why is God working there? Because God said, I will work there, right? You get it? God set it apart. You know, when you and I got saved, just and by the way, someday Israel's going to come back to God. Right now, they are not the people of God, but someday they will be. They've rejected God. But God didn't just set apart that city. God set apart in our dispensation, our time period, God has set apart believers unto himself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. All right? So be still, know that I am God. Know that I am your God. Why? Because I set you apart. When you got saved, I set you apart. And God set us apart for a very specific purpose. He set us apart to dwell with us. And so verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. All right, Jerusalem, be still. God's there. God's because God's there, God's not going to allow that city to be moved. You know, as long as God was there, she wasn't going anywhere. Some of you maybe have played sports or play sports, and you know that as you play sports, sometimes one guy carries the team. And if you can get that guy on your team, you're bound to win. You know you're going to win as long as that person's on your team. So if you want to win, what do you need to do? Make sure that you're on that team. And see, with us, God carries the team, doesn't he? The team is the local church that God has given the body of Christ, and God is here, and God desires to bless, and God desires to guide, God desires to strengthen, and as long as we stay with God, guess what? God's going to win. God's got the victory. And praise God, God has promised to be on our team. Hebrews 13, verse 5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so God has promised to be with us as his child. He has promised to be here, but we could turn our back and we could walk away from God. Paul said about Demas, he said, Demas has forsaken me and is having loved this present world and is departed, right? But if Demas would have just stayed there with God, and I don't know why Demas left. I don't know what he looked at in the world and thought, that'll satisfy me, that's going to meet my needs. But he left his source of strength and security because he left God. And so be still, know that I'm God, I've sanctified you, I dwell with you, and because of that, I defend you. And so let's consider how God defends us this morning. God defends us personally. He defends us personally. It says in our text, it says, God shall help her. God shall help her. You know, have you ever felt overwhelmed and just wish you had an expert? Somebody that you could just ask and say, if I could just present this problem to somebody that knows, I mean, if I had the right person, they could just do this so easy. I just wish I had that person to go to and to talk to. You know, praise God today, again, as believers, we got somebody that is expert in everything. We've got God with us, the God of the impossible. That hymn title of that, the God of the impossible says this, I don't know how God hangs the world on nothing or how he keeps the planets each in place. I cannot count the sands upon the seashore, nor can I count the stars that float in space. But God can do what seems impossible. God controls eternity. My mind can never comprehend it, but God in heaven cares for me. Do you know, praise God today, I could say God cares for Ethan. You know, God cares for Mr. Woods. God has an interest at Free Baptist Church. It's awesome to stop and think about. God is a personal God. God defends us personally. Look, I will defend you, God says. He defends us personally. He defends us presently. God shall help her, it says, in that right early. Again, we want to have help very quickly, especially in our modern day. We've got help at our fingertips. We break down. We saw two cars broke down last night. We broke down recently, and I had a flat battery. And, you know, I pick up the phone. We call, and they say, you know what, there's an app. And you go to the app, and you can know how long it's going to take for the guy to get there. And, I mean, you know when he's coming. And, man, he came quick, 25 minutes. He's there. The car is going again. We're back on the road. I like that. It's a wonderful thing today, and we go to God and we say, God, I got a problem, I'm burdened about it, and begin to cry out to God. Understand this, if we trust God, God is going to meet our need quickly. Jesus said in a parable that he told, he said in Luke 18, verse 7, he said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? See, we could go to our knees, and then all those things that we talked about, that men seek security and seek strength, and those things are appealing, and those things seem like immediate, and I can go do that, and I can get there, but the person that stays on their knees waiting on God, listen, God's coming. God's coming. Don't despair. Don't turn away in unbelief. Just continue to wait on God, because God defends us personally. He defends us presently, and then he defends us authoritatively. Verse 6. It says, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. All right, we saw a big fire last night, and we had a campfire recently at our house as well, and we had some candles that we were using, and the kids were kind of having fun looking at that. But, you know, if you take a fire and you take a candle, that wax that seems so strong and, you know, seems so, you know, firm, you could push on it, and it's pretty solid, that candle just takes, or that fire just comes to it and it melts it. And we look at this world, I don't know about you, I look at it and think, man, they're against God, they are strong against God, and they are fortified against God. And yet the Bible says about that, they stand so against God, yet when God comes as fire, that they melt. Why? Because God is authority. Again, I'm just trying to remind us this morning who's on our side, that we've got a God that is going to defend us personally. He's going to defend us presently. He's going to defend us authoritatively, and he defends us historically. Verses 7 and 11 are the same. It says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts, the God that's over all generations of all believers of all times. Was in our song this morning, the Lord Sabaoth, his name, the Lord of hosts, the God that is over believers past, present, and future, the angels in heaven, that is their God, and he's the God of Jacob. Jacob's a patriarch through whom the 12 other patriarchs came, those leaders of the tribes of the children of Israel. And so he's speaking in the psalm about the fact that this is historic God. It's what God said to Moses to encourage him as he came to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3, verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's saying, look, I am the God, the God. You know, praise God, I can say to us this morning, you know, our God is the God of Peter. Our God is the God of Paul. Our God is the God of Gideon. Modern times, our God is the God of Hudson Taylor. Our God is the God of Robert Murray McShane. Our God is the God of Moody and Mueller and Spurgeon, all these great men of God. That historic God is our God. So we go back to that premise, be still. Know that I am God, right? I sanctify you. I dwell with you. I defend you. And then the last thing that we want to consider here, the third point, is know that I will triumph. I will triumph. Verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And again, we could despair in our day. I don't know about you. I look at the mass of people that we saw last night. We were at the fireworks in Peebles and all that sea of people. And understanding this, the vast majority are going away from God. And it seems like the cause of Christ is in tatters. And yet God says, look, remember this. I will triumph. I will have victory. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And so we look at what God has cast down in the past. Verse 8, it says, come behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. How many of you can find Sodom and Gomorrah on the map? Well, it's somewhere beside the Dead Sea. That land is a barren wasteland. Why? Because God made it desolate. Israel knew what happened to Egypt. Israel knew the stories firsthand of the Egyptian army being destroyed in the Red Sea and what God did, the desolations that he made, both on that nation before they departed and in the Red Sea. The walls of Jericho testify to the fact of what God can do. Those walls were impregnable, they thought, but they just fell down. The evidence of the worldwide flood ought to give men pause in our day. When they blaspheme God, they mock God, they curse God. What desolations he hath made in the earth. The fact that fossils are in the top of Mount Everest and that these grand canyons exist in the world is proof positive that God did that in his wrath against the ungodly. And so I remind us this morning, this idea that God will triumph. Let's look at what God has done in the past. What desolations he hath made in the earth. And then remember this morning. Look at what God will cast down, not just what he has cast down. He will end all wars, verse 9. It says, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. You know, our hearts go out to the people of Ukraine and what they're facing in Kherson and the evacuation of the Russian army and the Ukrainian army coming in and these things taking place. And it's just grievous to consider all the heartache and all the sorrow that has been brought by that. But there's coming a day where that's going to cease because God is going to make it to cease. He's going to destroy, not just end the wars, but he's going to destroy all weapons of war. It says again in verse 9, he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. You know, North Korea has been in the news this past week, firing long-range missiles, you know, off the coast of South Korea. And you know, the posturing that's taking place there. Again, we see the devastation in Ukraine because of Russia and the missiles and the drones that were supplied by Iran and those weapons coming in, and it's just very sad to see. But there's coming a day where God's going to stop all of that. There's not going to be any weapons of war anymore. The Bible speaks about this day in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. He shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. This morning, do you believe God's going to be exalted over all things? That he's going to triumph, that he's got it, that, you know, again, we go back to the premise, be still, know that I am God, know that I will triumph. Again, are you struggling to find quiet in your soul no matter what you try to do because of the difficulties of life? Again, this hymn, this psalm is a precious psalm. A hymn writer, Catherine von Schlegel, wrote about this psalm, and we've sung it this morning. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Your best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways, leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, your God will undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he lived below. And so praise God this morning. We look at it and we say, there are a lot of difficulties in life, but I can be still and know that he is God if he's my God. And so I'd ask you this morning, is he your God? Do you know for sure? If you died, you go to heaven. Do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, praise God. You can say, I can be still because he's my God. Are you remembering that he's watching over you, that he's defending you, that he's present in time of trouble? May God help us to be reminded of that even this week. Let's pray. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would just take the truth of the Word of God and put it in our hearts here this morning. Father, that we truly be still and just rest in you and say it's okay because God is God and God is on his throne and God's got this and God is greater and God's watching over us and we are his people. He has sanctified us. He set us apart. He's dwelling in our hearts if we're saved. And Father, I just pray strengthen your church today in our walk with you. It's in Christ and we pray. Amen.